So today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Pei Chet, which Richie reminds you that if yesterday was gold, pause, if you don't chazer, you fall straight into a big pat garbage pail, a pach. And so we continue on the Mishnah today. Yesterday we learned all about the various kelim and what the din of kedushas kelim is. So we discovered that the Torah actually uses the words kol negevim yigdash on every single one of the kelim that are mentioned, and therefore it's not a din specifically in mizbeach and in kevesh. And we had the question yesterday, Rish Lakish's question, of whether that means that it actually makes it kosher for the Mizbeach, or does it just mean that it makes it kosher in the sense that it becomes Kedushas Haguf, and therefore it can't be Podui if it's unusable? Does it mean maybe that it becomes Kodesh vis-a-vis Psulim, so that it will now be Pasul Balon, it will now be Pasul with the Tful Yom, or Tomei, that normally wouldn't have been Pasul with, because now it's more sensitive? Now, we want to discuss what particular items each one of these kelim are suited for, because it turns out the kelim are only mekadesh, just like the mizbeach. And mizbeach mekadesh es ha-ro'ui la-mizbeach, remember, which is the imalul lo yerdu. And that's how we distinguish between those things that are even imalul yerdu and those things which are imalul lo yerdu. But the truth is that all kelim are only going to be Mekadesh, the things that they are meant to actually be used with. So our mission wants to define what is actually the use of each one of these kelim, in which case that kli will be Mekadesh, that particular thing. So, says the Eilat Mishnah, kelei halach mekachinat halach. So if you have things like a mizrak was meant to be used for dam, or you can have kelim that are used for the shemen, or if we have bitzluchis of the mayim. So there's things that are meant specifically for liquids. And then there are kelim that are used specifically for solids, but interestingly enough, those kelim are all midot, meaning that they were made in order to measure what was needed for the solids. And the truth is, there were only two of those kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. One was the Isaron, and one was the Chatzi Isaron. The Isaron was the standard for every single different type of mincha. And the Chatzi Isaron was only needed for the mincha, which is called the mincha chavitin, which is brought by the Kohen Gadol. But there it's brought mechtze b'boker or mechtze b'erev, which is why they needed a Chatzi Isaron. Everything else was actually, no matter what you would need, you would use numbers of Isronot. So because of that, when it comes to the kelim, it says klei halach, and when it, to the lach, and when it comes to the yavesh, it says midot ha-yavesh, because that's the truth. That's really what it was all about. So these are things that are able to give kedushas haguf. And remember that if you have an animal that you give to Hekdesh, that animal is already kodesh with a kedushas haguf. If it's kachem kachem, it's going to be already mechayev you and me'ila. But things that are not specifically used as a sacrifice, they're just like a standard item, which is flour, oil, water, and so on and so forth. Those kind of things need an actual act of being mekadesh and kedushas haguf. For that, you need a kli for many of the dinim, which include pidyan or psul, let's say psul of yotzei or psul of lan, certain tuma that otherwise wouldn't be mekabel if it wasn't kedesh. These are tumas that are part of the malas hakedesh and so on and so forth. So in a kli, halach, mekadesh et ha-yavesh, the kelim are not mekadesh. If they're meant for lach, they're not mekadesh yavesh. Now, it turns out that this does not mean what it seems to mean, because we just made a distinction between kelim and midos. And we're going to see in the Gemara that when it says over here the kelim of the lach, it means only those kelim that are meant for measuring lach, but not for kelim that are just used for holding lach. They actually are mekadesh. So v'lo yavesh mekadesh et halach. Now note, the lo yavesh drops the midot hayavesh, right? In kli halach, and v'lo hayavesh mekadesh et halach. That's exactly because we don't really mean to refer back to what it was we were just talking about, as we're going to see in the Gemara. So that's your remez in the Mishnah Gufa to the change. Klei HaKodesh and Nikva. Let's say it was a little hole. Now, is that the same as when it comes to the dinim of Kabbalah's Tuma? Or is there a special consideration for what is considered to be a cancellation of the status of a Kli when it comes to Hekdesh? So Klei HaKodesh that get a Nekev, the standard for losing the dinim of Kli Shares is that it can no longer do anything similar to what it used to do. But if they could still be used for the type of thing that they were used before, even if it's not precisely the same as we'll see cases, then they would be makadesh. But in love, but if they don't have some kind of resemblance, then they're no longer considered to be roy. So then they would be makachim, in love, ain't makachim. V'kulan ena mekachim ela b'kodesh. The special din of the kedusha that a kli gives, even if it's something that is only generally ro'ilo, is only if it's in the azar. Omar Shmuel, the Mishnah just said that the kli halach are not mekadesh the yavesh, but that's not really true. It's only the midot, lo shanu ala midot, those things which are midot for lach. They are not mekadesh. But let's say you have a mizrak. A mizrak doesn't measure anything. A mizrak is just mekabel dam. And therefore, it actually, since we find clearly that it was definitely used for yavesh in a very, very famous piece, which is coming up next week, and it's right on time to prepare us for Hanukkah, and for Zot Chanukat HaMizbeach, Mizrakot, we know, are definitely Mekachim. Because, after all, we know perfectly well how many times the Torah says, Karat Kesev Achat, Shloshim Umeya Mishkala, Mizrak Achat Kesev, Shivim Shekel, B'Shekel HaKodesh, Shneyem Milayim. What are the Milayim? Are the Milayim Shemen? Are the Milayim Yayin? Are they Malayim Yayin? No. They're Shneyem Malayim Solet. But how can they be Mekadesh the Solet if they are Klei Halach? You see from here clearly, says Shmuel, that the Klei Halach is not really what the Mishnah meant. The Mishnah meant the Midot Halach. Omer Rav Achim Idifti Ravina, but I don't get what the proof is. When we say Shneyem Melayim Solet, I mean, it doesn't mean dry solet. These were Menachot. And Menachot is solet that's mixed with oil. And it's basically, I mean, you can view that as being not a solid. I mean, it's liquidy, so it would be called lech. I mean, relative to something that is solid, we could call it a liquid. Omar Lay, you're right. Shmuel's raya is from the fact that there's no such thing as a perfectly mixed mincha where the solet mixes with the oil. The solet does not mix easily with oil. So you're always going to have crunchy areas where you have dry solet. And therefore, how can you put that on the mizbeach when you're going to be makrivit? So it must be that these kelim were actually mekadesh the yavesh sheba. Lo nitzcha la yavesh sheba, the part that remains dry and will nonetheless be part of the mizbeach. How is it mekabalas kedusha? Must be that the mizrak, which is essentially for liquids, is mekadesh. And all the Mishnah must have meant is that if it's meant for measuring liquids, it's never used for yavesh. Or I could tell you something else. I could say, look, if you're looking at it from the point of view of relative, right? So, I mean, mincha, relative to a mincha, relative to dam, a mincha is dry. Dam pours, and a mizrach is meant for dam. So you see that it's not limited to the type of thing that it's made for specifically. Amar Shmuel, I've got to tell you some other dinim over here about the kiddush of kli sharet. First of all, a kli sharet is only mekadesh if it's shalein. So kli sharet ein mekadshin ela shelemim. Furthermore, they're only mekadesh if they are full. Now, full does not mean full to capacity. Full means the full amount that they are needed to be mekadesh. So in other words, if you're going to have a certain amount that's going to be brought on the mizbeach, and that is what is roi, then that's the only thing that it's mekadesh. But if you have just random things that are in there that don't fit the bill for a particular tzorach of the mizbeach, then they're not mekadesh. And furthermore, ein mekadshim ela mitochan. The other thing is that they have to also be the, now this is a question. What does that mean? Mitochan. And it turns out that it's really a machlokes, as we'll see. Rashi and Tosfos. Does mitochan mean on their inside as opposed to on the outside? Does it mean in the inside of the azara, which is the way Rashi learns it? And therefore, it's basically just telling us what the Mishnah said, that they're only Mekadesh when they're in the Azora. We'll see that there's an alternative here that actually makes the Gemara that comes up right now a little bit more interesting. So when we say in Mekadshin el Mitochan, there was, in fact, a different version of Shmuel. And it said, Ein Mekadshin ela Shelemim, yes, Mileim, yes, that fits. But instead of using the word Mitochan, it used the word Umibif, the mibifnim. So that would be the question. According to that, mibifnim certainly would mean inside, says Rashi, inside the Azara. But then that would mean mitochan. The mitochan doesn't mean bifnim. Mitochan means from inside the kli. That's clear. So the question is whether does mibifnim mean in the Azara, in which case it's repetitive of what we know already in the Mishnah, or does it mean inside the kli? So what would be the difference between the word mitochan or mibifnim? Don't both of them mean inside the kli? And the Gemara explains that there's a difference. My binayu, there certainly is a difference. Ike binayu birutse midot. So remember, sometimes you overfill a kli. You're going to overfill a kli, which it goes above the top of the kli. And so now the question is, does it have to be inside or does it have to be betocho? Betocho means whatever it holds when you have things inside of it. If it goes above, it would be included. But if it's bifnim, it means only the area that's actually inside of the kli, and therefore any part that goes above the kli. And this is called birutse midot. There's a machloket we're going to see about the nature of the kiddush kli to birutse midot. And that's basically what we're talking about here. But that's a major sugya in Menachos. So the ikur b'inayu birutse midot, which is another gavi munach in the list of munachim. This means overflowing midos. And of course, you can have overflowing midos because of surface tension, and you can have overflowing midos in terms of yavesh. Now, there's a braita that actually puts it all together. Ein mekachim ela shalemim, umeleim, umitochan, umibifnim. So over here, obviously, the mibifnim is meant to mean in the actual chatzar. When I say chatzar, remember, I'm just using the original language of the Torah b'nagei the Mishkan, which translates today into the Azara. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. When do we say that they're only going to be Mekadesh if they have the full amount in them that is required for whatever it is you want to be Mekadesh? That's only if you're not in the process of adding. So then it's just like a random thing. They're not going to be Mekadesh, a random thing. But if this is not random, you've got a big bag of solet, and you're going to keep adding from that bag of solet until it has the correct amount. So then when you put in your first bag, it's only got half of its contents, it's already makadishit, because here you're in the process of using the kli for what it's meant. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan explained that this is only if ein da'ato lo hosif, you're not going to continue filling it up. But if you're going to be eventually filling it, da'ato lo hosif, then whatever you put into it as part of what it's ultimately meant to hold is going to be mekudash, rishon, rishon, kodosh. As you put it in, that's when it gets kedusha. And there's a brighter too. Tanya Namihach. We said, Shnehem Meleim, Solet, Ein Meleim, Elishleimim. Meleim means as much as is required. Meleim doesn't mean filled to the top. Amar Abios, Ematan. But when is it true that they're only Mekadosh if they're Meleim? Bizman She'in Da'ato Lo Hosif, Aba Da'ato Lo Hosif, Rishon, Rishon Kodesh. So it's a completely different way of reading the Matana of the Nisian coming up. Now, you said that in Klei Halach Bekatrimes HaYovesh V'lo HaYovesh Et Halach. Omerav V'item Ravasi. When we say in Mekatrim, what do we mean? We only mean that they're not Mekatrim to make them roti for the Mizbeach. But they certainly are giving them a Kedushas HaGuf so that now they're Mekatrim Lipasel. So anything that was put in them is now considered to be Kodesh B'Kedushas HaGuf, such that it will become posel B'Yotze, it will become posel with a Tful Yom or with a Mechuzer Kippurim, it will be posel if it's Lan, all of those Inyanim that are called Mekudash Li Pasel, that they definitely do work for. If it wasn't yet Nikli Shares, then it wouldn't even be shayach for a psul of lina or a psul of tful yom or certainly not mechuzer kippurim or a psul of yotze. That is what actually Rav said, we thought, about what we just said in the Mishnah. But there are some who say that that limud that Rav said in mekachim li pasel was referring to a braita. Let me tell you what that braita is. When we say minachot, we mean just a mincha on its own, out of the whole list of minachos that we find in Vayikra. When we talk about the nisachim, we're talking about the yayin. When we're talking about minchat behima, we're talking about what's called the minchat nisachim, which is basically we bring a part of the nisachim is wine, and part of the nisachim, as the mincha part, is the solet. So when we talk about the regular mincha, it's called mincha. If we're talking about the mincha that's brought together with the bikorban, it's called minchat beima. Or you can't bring bikurim. Any of these items cannot be brought from hamiduma. Now Rashi learns that miduma means truma. And why would it only be kosher if it's not truma? And here Gavi takes out the sparkling pen and it writes down the words Mashke Yisrael. The Torah uses the words Mashke Yisrael in describing in Tanakh the korbanos. And from there we learn that Mashke Yisrael means only Haraui Yisrael is considered to be kosher for a korban. And if it's not Roy L'Kol Yisrael, it's only Roy for Kohanim, so then it's not called Mashke Yisrael. Tosfos argues on that, and he says it's not called, not Mashke Yisrael. Not Mashke Yisrael means not Roy for any Yisrael. But if it's Roy for Kohanim, of course you can use it for a korban. And therefore, he understands that this is an unusual use of the word meduma. And meduma, in this case, doesn't mean meduma with truma. It means meduma with iser, in which case it has in it things like kloyakerem or orla, which is a little bit problematic because in a moment we're going to be using orla and kloyakerem as additional categories of things that you can't bring it for. And if I already said meduma, why do I need to spell out all of it? So fine, Eino chinami, that's why, says Tosfos, the Mishnah says, and ain't tzarich lomar, the Orlan Kloya Kerem itself. So that part definitely works out a lot better like Rashi. Mina muduma from Truma, which is muta for Kohanim, but not for Kol Yisrael, and ain't tzarich lomar, if it's not even muta for Kohanim, so for sure it's no good. The imevi, so let's say you brought some of those things, you put it into one of these kelim, Lokidesh. So it was here that they put in the Amaravi Tamer of Asi. And on this Braita, according to this version, Amaravi Tamer of Asi, Lokidesh le Karev, Aval Kidesh le Pasel. So that this halacha, once they're in a klisharis, no matter what their meaning was to be used for. Now, in this case, obviously, they're not usable for anything if we're talking about Kol HaKerem and Orla and so on, which means that when we say they're Kadesh Li Pasel, it does not mean what it meant if they were using Rav on the Mishnah. If we're using Rav on the Mishnah, the meaning of Li Pasel is those psulim that are only chal on something that has Kedush Zaguf. So we said that would mean Li Pasel Betful Yomer Mechuzer Kippur, Li Pasel Biyotze, Li Pasel Belan. There is no way that you are going to be able to be Mekadesh, Orla, and Kloya Kerem, if it's, even if it's put into a Kli, it doesn't become Kodesh. It's Yisrei Hanoah, and it's not going to become Pasel Belina. It's Usher completely. It's Usher Banah. So it can't mean what it meant there. The here, the meaning of Li Pasel is a strange use of the word Li Pasel, because what it would mean is that they are useless. That's the point. It just means you can't do anything with them, because up until now, you could have been poda them, and then they're still usable. Here, Li Pasel means you got to dump them in the garbage because they're not usable, period. So it would be a completely different meaning. Okay. Now, we talked about the question of whether there's a hole in the Kli. And this is, I see Gabi's got a cool problem with his magic wand today, because every time we say he has to write something down, it suddenly switches to Ori. And I haven't gotten one look at any sparkling wands. So I don't know what's going on there. He's supposed to be always, never leave your wand behind, Gab. You never know who might pick it up. Gosh, don't forget that wand chose its Gabi, not Gabi its wand. So, okay, so you got to remember a new klal. And that new klal is, Ein aniyut b'makom ashirut. We do not act like a bunch of paupers if you are in a place of multimillionaires. I mean, can you imagine getting a stain on your shirt and actually giving it into the cleaners? You just take out a brand new shirt. Whoever heard of such a thing? Gosh, what kind of people do you hang around with? So therefore, in the Beis HaMikdash, we have that same idea. The Beis HaMikdash is meant to be carried around as if it's gold, like Trump. You're not going to take out an old watch shirt if you can have a new shirt. So therefore, tuner up on it. A Kli Kodesh Nikvu. You don't repair it. Come on, man. Ein matichino. What are you going to do? You're going to heat it up so that now the gold or whatever it's made out of is going to go and to melt into the place where the hole was. You certainly don't drip lead into them, which is what you do when you get a cheap thing that has a hole in it. So you drop lead into it. That was the way they used to repair it. If they have any kind of pagam, you don't fix them. And if you got a nick in a sakin, then you don't file it. I mean, that's crazy. It's going to look ridiculous. It's going to look like it's got little places where the metal has been filed off. Not nice. If the handle of the knife falls off, what, are you going to take a little bit of glue and stick it back on? What is the base? I mean, this made out of bubble gum. What's the matter with you guys? You buy a new one. And therefore, in Magzirinota. Abba Shaul Omer, look, it's not even that. It's not that it has to be noticeable. It's that even if it's very subtle and you only found out that it's not a perfect knife. Like, let's say we had a case where there was a sakin matrefet haitabi migdash. There was a knife that used to make trouble. The metal was soft. It used to get a pagam even against the skin, a tiny pagam, which was enough to passel the shvita. And for those tiny pagams, they usually would be filing it because that's not noticeable. It's only a file that makes it not noticeable. But that makes it noticeable. That would be Einanias B'mokam Ashiras. But here, because they would not want to have any kind of problem, so even though it looked okay, they dumped it. And they dumped it means not in the garbage, but to be gonezit, because it was still hegdash. So sakin bit matrefet haita b'migdash, the Kohanim took a vote, and they decided we're not using it. And because of that, ginazua. Tanu Rabbanan, when it comes to the big day kahuna, so let's first talk about the main requirements of the big day kahuna. The big day kahuna are not put together out of different pieces. I mean, these are not big day kahuna that you order on Temu, you know? So these are big day kahuna that have to be actually woven in that solid shape. And then, you don't take pieces of material and sew them together. They are done by weaving, and that is not easy to do. Shenemar maase oreg. And if they got dirty, what are you going to do? You're going to take detergent and you're going to wash off the big day kahuna. And you're going to try to tell me that big day kahuna that were washed, they look just the same as new. Yeah, you show me a talis that somebody washed that looks just as good as new. How many people wash their talit and how many people just go and get a new talit? Raise your hands. It never looks good after you wash it, right? Doesn't matter what you do. So they did not use to wash the big day kahuna, and they didn't use any detergent. What do you mean they didn't use any detergent? But what? They used water? Water's going to do a better job? I mean, I understand what you mean. Why do you say detergent? That doesn't make any sense. Rabbi, no. What the Braitha was saying was like this. If they got a little bit of dirt on them, meaning that all you needed to do was like take a little bit of water and rub something off, then you would clean it, but you would clean it even benetter va'al, that spot cleaning, that would be okay. But if they were really dirty so that they would need to be put into the washing machine and you needed detergent, then you don't do anything to them. Af b'mayim ein mechapsin, they're not washed. Meaning, not af b'mayim, because mayim is better, but meaning, forget about it. There's nothing to do about that. But others say, not true. If they get dirty, they're not washed. Ein mechapsim otam kolikar, she'ein aniyut b'mikom ashirut. And this was our new gaviklal for the day. When things are majestic, opulent, golden, we don't treat them as if we're a bunch of paupers. Okay, now once we already started discussing the big day kahuna, we had one very special beket kahuna, which was the mocker of the din that we said before, where we said maase oreg. Now that maase oreg was said on the me'il. The me'il was very unique because the me'il was the only kli that was entirely tcheles. Now, Tanu Rabbanan, me'il kulo shel tcheles haya, shenema vayazet me'il ha'ifot klil tchelet. Shulav, ketzad, but what about the bottom of the me'il? Because there we've got this complex thing that the pasuk says to do. V'yalsita al shulav, rimone tchelet, v'yargaman, v'tolat shani al shulav saviv, upa'amone zahav, betocham saviv, ba'amon zahav rimon, ba'amon zahav rimon, al shulei amil saviv. How did you do that exactly? Well, first you would bring tchelet, argaman, and tolat shani that were twisted together into a single thread. So, as we learned when we were talking about the Asiyah, and we'll have more in Menachas, you brought a kofel the three times, each one was kofel shmona, which means that you ended up with 24 different threads all twisted into one thick thread. And that would be 8 of each one of these different materials and colors. So, that's how you started. And you would then make them into kmin rimonim shelo pitchu pihem. They would look like a rimon that grows on a tree that hadn't yet opened up. So it was completely rounded. It's sort of, you know what it sort of looks like? It looks like the konaot shel kinasot sheberoshet tinokot. You know how you make these helmets on kids that are riding bicycles? So you turn them, you put on these round things, and they just have a place in which you could put your head into. That's what these rimonim look like. And you bring shivim ushnayim zagim. Take 72 bells that have in them shivim ushnayim inbalim, that have 72 clappers, one in each bell, and you put the bell tolet bahen. Now here it's not so clear, because there's a big machlokas about whether it says tole bahen or whether it says tole bo. You'll remember the machlokas Rishonim in Shmos, on the Mefarshei HaMikra, whether the bells were inside the rimonim, and that's what the pa'amon rimon doesn't mean, alternate pa'amon rimon. Rather, it means a pa'amon that is inside of the rimon, so that you had each one of these rimonim would actually ring with the bell inside. So that depends here on this minor difference in the girsa. If the girsa is tole bahen, so then it means you put the bell inside of the rimon, obviously. But if you have the girsa bo, it means you hang the bells on the shulei ha'me'il. And then it would mean you alternate one with the other. And then you would have 36 of these units on one side of the me'il, because remember, the me'il was not connected. So the me'il came down, it had two sides. It had the front and the back, and 36 of each of these was on either side. So, shloshim v'shisha b'tzadzeh, u'shloshim v'shisha b'tzadzeh. Rabbi Dosa, Omar Mishum Rabbi, this next piece is just so remarkable. So this is Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkanus. There is no other Rabbi Dosa. And so Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkanus says, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, no, there was only a total of Shloshim Rishisha. So you had Shmonasre Mitzadzeh and Shmonasre Mitzadzeh. Omar Rav Inyani Bar Sason, you should know that the same machlokas that we have over here between Rabbi Dosa, as I said, is Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkanus, and the Chachamim, is the same shita that we have in Machlokas in Mesechet Negaim. So, k'machloket kan, kan machloket b'marot Negaim. Question is, how do we separate out the various marot? And remember, we had this back when we were learning Negaim. Because the Mishnah said, the marot Negaim, Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkanus amar shloshim v'shisha, and Akavya ben Mahalalel omer shivim ushnaim. And this is basically the same machlokas that we have over here, because it's the same number of the total that we said about the 72. So that's similar to the 72 that we have in the Tanakhama here. We didn't identify it as Akavi ben Mahalalel, but he said 72. And therefore, it would mean that these two are actually the same as those 72. One has something to do with the other? Absolutely. And that's because the Me'il, as we're going to see, because of its generation of kol, is a kapora for Lashon Hara. And therefore, it's the equivalent of Tzorat. So the same, it's amazing. So the same Machlokas, which of course is directly Nogea, all of the sugyas that we're involved in now, which are the Lamed Vav Neiros of Hanukkah, and the different approaches over here of Yosef and Yehuda, which is why it's Ben Mahalalel, because of course this is Nogea Bechlal the Din of the Lashon Hara, that Motziat Dibam Mitzad Yosef, and the Lashon Hara that they spoke about Yosef, and the breakdown in all of Dibur, which was from the beginning, Lo Yachlu Dabro L'Shalom, and therefore it's deeply involved in the issues of Lashon Hara and the story of Miriam, and the same Machlokas about the 72 verses the 36 is the Machlokas that we find here on the Me'il, which is Mechaper Lashon Hara, and on Soraz, and the story of Miriam, which is about Lashon Hara. But if you think that that does any good in making people sensitive to Lashon Hara, you got something else coming, let me tell you. Because somehow or other, an entire Maaseh Bereishis can talk about revolving around Lashon Hara from the first words of the stories of the Nachash, and it only appears to be more enticing as time goes on. Otherwise, how to account for all of these marvelous newspapers and internet sites? I wonder if we could find Rimozin to the 72 and the 36 there. V'omar Rav Inyani Bar Sason. So another beautiful thing is to realize that the Parshat HaKorbanot is strangely mixed with the Parsha of Bigdei Kohuna. Now, how come we have, like, wouldn't it make more sense? And you take a look at Tetzaveh, you know, and what do you got? You got half of the Parsha is talking about the Bigdei Kohuna, and half of the Parsha is talking about the Korbanos and the Miluim. I mean, like, that's really weird. And then the truth is that the same thing happens in Tzav as happens in Tetzaveh. So we've got, Tzav has got a lot of the dinim of the Korbanos. We have all the dinim of Osher, B'chata, Shlomim, and so on. And then we've got the din of the putting on the begadim on Aaron and Banav. How come the Torah always puts these two things together? That's to tell me that just like Korbanot are there in order to be mechaper, the Bigdei Kohuna themselves are mechaprim. So the Ketonet, well, the Ketonet is out of this week's parasha. The Ketonet is mechaper on Shvichas Domim. After all, it says, Vayishchatu Si'irizim, Vayitmilu Et HaKetonet Bedam. So then that means that the kutonet in the Beis HaMikdash, all the kutonot, were there as a kapora for this maisa of Yosef and Shvichas Domim. What about the Mechnasayim? The Mechnasayim are obviously there for Gilui Arayot. It says, V'osei lehem Mechnasei bad lechasot besar erva. So lechasot doesn't just mean to physically cover. It means that will cover the problems of genitals. And then mitznefet. You put a mitznefet on your head. That's because it's mechaper on gazei haruach. How do we know? Well, Rabbi Chanina pointed out, look, you put something on your head, you know, and so people put that stuff on their head, and it's supposedly, you know, they're wearing a nice yarmulke to show that they're machnia themselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nobody would ever put a borsalino or a shtreimel on their head to make themselves look even more important, would they? So therefore, it's got to be there to be mechaper on arrogance. So it's mechaper al gova, the avnet. Well, the avnet, that makes sense. It is supposed to be a split, it's a chatzitza, between your heart that has a tendency to fantasize and the rest of you that it fantasizes about. So you put a belt on to be mechaper hechadisi. That's where it is, and that means it's there in order to separate those things. There's also Rimozim, famous Rimozim, that if you take a look at the total length of the avnet, remember, it wasn't a belt like we have it. It went round and round like the Hasidish avnet, right? So it was 32 amos long. Well, and that is basically lamed beis. So it's there in order to be mechaper on hirur alev. Choshen. The choshen is mechaper al adinim. Shenemar ve'asita choshen mishpat. The choshen is there for justice. Ephod. The ephod is clearly mechaper on avodas kochavim, because it says, ein ephod v'trafim. Wherever there is no ephod, then there's always going to be trafim, meaning the chet of avodas zara. How about the me'il? The me'il is mechaper on lashon hara. The logic in that is, Amar Rabbi Chanina, yavo davar shebekol v'chaper al kol hara. So it makes sense to have the ringing, such a weird thing, to have bells on the bottom of the me'il. That's in order to make a noise which should be mechaper on the chaotic noise of Lashon Hara. Tzitz, the tzitz is mechaper on Azus Ponim. Azus Ponim is chutzpah, brazenness. How do we know that? Because it says, Meitzach, Petzitz Ketiv, Vaya al Meitzach Aaron, and Azut Panim Ketiv. So the Navi writes, Meitzach Isha Zonah Ayalach. You have the kind of chutzpah that an Isha Zonah has. And that's a sense of brazen. But I don't get it. This goes against the Braita, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi pointed out, Vomer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Shnei dvarim lo matzino lem kapara bekorbanot, umatzino lo kapara mimokom achar. There's two very important things that we don't find any kapara for, as far as bringing a korban, but we do find another kapara. And I'm referring to Shvichut Damim and Lashon Hara. Shvichut Damim, the Torah gave us the Egla Rufa. If someone was murdered along the road, we don't know who murdered him, so we bring an Egla Rufa. And the Egla Rufa is Mechaper. Loshon Hara is the Ktoret. Tutoni Rabbi Hananya, Minayin L'Ktoret Shemechaperet. It says that Aaron came, Vayitena Taktoret Ve'achaper Alaam. This was at the time that there was the terrible Magefa because of Korach, and the Ktoret was put there and stopped the Magefa. So you see, that was V'toni, Rabbi Yishmael. What is that kapar v'yachaper? It's a Loshon Hara, just like the story of Korach, where he went around all night long, and they were speaking about the way Moshe and Aaron were taking all of the things for themselves. And this makes sense, because Yavod Avar Shebachashai v'yachaper amaseh hashai. The Ktoris is brought inside the Beis HaMikdash. Nobody else is allowed to be there at the time that the Kohen is being makriv. So it's something that is secret. Well, the same thing is true about Lashon Hara. It's always, I just got to tell you this, but don't tell anybody else. So it's always basically secret. It's never meant to spread, of course. And of course, we have very much deeper elements of the meaning of Ketoret, because remember that smells are mentioning the equivalent of shame, right? You know that. So that was Agadla Shemecha, is that I will turn you into a bottle of perfume, like Ketoret. But of course, the deeper reality is that in nature, you tell your name by a phironym, which is the smell. So Ketoret and shame, which is Motzi Shem Ra, would also be interrelated. That's Berumas in the Pusik of Nirdi Natan Recho, which the Targum of Nirdi Natan Recho is Yatsa Shama Bisha. So then when we went to Didi Maisa Egel, it was a Shem Ra, Shma Bisha, which is a stench. So basically, it all smells rotten in Denmark, although Denmark's starting to smell rotten itself. But in any event, it means that it would be mechaper. But here you're telling me there's only two things. You're telling me these two things, and they're dafka a contradiction to what we said. I mean, we said, you're saying Loshon Hara is mechupar by the Ktoris. We just learned that it's from the Me'il. And we said Shvichas Damim is a kapara from the Kutanot. And you say, no, it's actually the Egla Rufa. So, I mean, what's the real take on this? Lokash. Obviously, there's no parash. The din of the Egla Rufa says Beferish in the Pusik, Lo Yada Mayikohu. The person was killed. We have no idea who did the killing. But the Ketonet is necessary in cases where we do know who the murderer was. We're not going to bring an Egla Rufa. So, Hadi Yadiyah Mankatle. And where we bring the Egla Rufa. What are you talking about? If we know who did it, then you can't be mechaper. It says, you got to get rid of the guy. You got to bring him to justice. So what good is the kutanet? Bar katalahi. He's supposed to be killed. And if you don't have the guts to kill him, so then you're not going to get a kapara. Yeah, but what about a case where we know that he did it, but we don't have any hatra'ah? We didn't give him hatra'ah, we can't kill him. So over there, all of Klal Yisrael is responsible, but by wearing the ketonet, for bringing the karbanos with the ketonet, it's mechaper. Okay, what about the contradiction of Lashon Hara? Lashon Hara, is Lashon Hara a ketoret kapara, or is Lashon Hara a me'il? Well, that depends. Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara, Nami Lo Kasha. We said that the Ketoret was Mechaper on the kind of Lashon Hara that is intimate. I gotta tell you this. But don't tell anybody. But then there's the opposite kind of Lashon Hara. Splash it in the headlines of Ynet. So over there, that's Befarhesia. So what's Mechaper on humanity from the New York Times? The only thing that would be Mechaper would be the Me'il. And those is a completely different type of Lashon Hara and Shem Ra, which makes us ready for the one wonderful call that is Mechaper on all of the nonsense people speak. A man who would never look at Ynet or any newspaper, our very own Sir Richard. Hadron Alach, Hamizbeach Mekadesh. Uh-oh. We missed it. Ah!
A bloody nether! Bunkton?
Well,
I'm going to leave that.
We could just start the Mishnah, because we never know if we can trust you for a Funkton early in the morning. Go ahead. Funkton the Heleke, go give it to us.
Funkton the Heleke Perek.
Kol hatadir mi chaviro. Kodemet chaviro. Anything that comes up more often comes first. This, of course, is a klal that's nogea so many different things in kedima and tefillah and so on and so forth, as we'll talk about Bezrat Hashem tomorrow.